it's revealed. For the breakdown left tonight, black and gold, we're taking flight. Every story, every fight, for the breakdown every night.
What's going on, Boiler Nation? It's Tuesday night. It's November 26th, 2024. A brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast streaming live on the Boiler Breakdown Facebook page, on our YouTube channel, and on our Twitch channel. Hit that like button, hit that follow button, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell on YouTube so you know when we are going live with our latest episode. I'm Taylor Lee, co-host Evan Webb in the house. Webby, how's it going? Are you ready to eat a lot of food later this week?
Absolutely, man. Doing all right. I feel like I'm coming under the weather a little bit, just kind of that time of year with the weather changing. But I am definitely ready for a nice little break.
What's the typical Thanksgiving? What's your typical Thanksgiving plate look like? Your first plate when you're sitting down. What's on it? What do we have?
Turkey. I'm preferential to the dark meat. But I'll either one's fine with me. But if there's two options, I'm going dark meat.
I agree.
A crap load of mashed potatoes. Not a stuffing guy. I find it repulsive. I'm a big fan of cranberry, but it has to be the one out of the can where you can just see the ridges. Like, I don't need any of that homemade stuff. Usually some sort of bread, usually like a dinner roll of some sort. And then dessert. I'm a big pie guy, so I'm pretty basic with the pumpkin pie for around Thanksgiving.
Sounds like a pretty good Thanksgiving meal to me. So
what about you?
Yeah, definitely. I'll get some turkey, some mashed potatoes. I know at my family's, at least, usually there's some chicken and noodles. I'll throw some of that there. Definitely go with a pie. I'm not a big pumpkin pie guy, but usually there's a variety of pies. So I'll grab sugar cream or an apple.
Ooh,
or,
solid. Yeah.
Or whatever they got. Strawberry, if it's available, that's more of a summer. I feel like that's more of a July thing. Stuffing, I'm beginning to kind of like it a little bit.
But can't
it depends. It depends. Not a big cranberry guy. I can do some sweet potatoes. Not a green bean guy, so I don't like green bean casserole. I know that's real popular.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. You got football, NFL football. You got Purdue basketball, which we'll be talking about here in a bit on Thanksgiving, and then family time with friends. So, yeah, good stuff. Cameron Day on Facebook, we suck again. I mean, 1-10. 1-10. What is Bobinski waiting for? Well, Webby, let's dive right into it.
Might as well.
Mike Bobinski has got a decision to make. If it's not already made already, to fire Ryan Walters or not. It's weird because you look at it and you're like, how could they bring him back? Even with a revived staff, new coordinators, et cetera, et cetera. But then Goldblack Illustrated and Goldblack, who reports for Purdue, is kind of the main Purdue source. You know, they're only putting out the information they get. They keep saying that there's a lean towards bringing them back with a new staff, new coordinators. Some of the names they've supposedly reached out to, Jamarcus Shepherd, who was formerly on Jeff Brohm's staff and then went to Washington, now at Alabama. Jeff's little brother, Brian Brohm, who we've seen coach Purdue twice, head coach at Purdue twice, 1-1, beat Iowa the COVID year, and then lost to LSU in the massacre that was the Cheez-It Bowl. So I don't know. I mean, the thing that confuses me is, you know, I've seen a lot of things. Why would Shepherd leave Alabama? Why would Brian Brohm leave his brother? Very valid questions. The only thing I could think of, maybe Jamarcus is getting the indication that he might be gone at Alabama soon. And he doesn't call the plays down there.
Yeah.
Why would you want to come on if there's a good chance this could only be a 1-year deal? Same with Brian Brohm. I mean, I could understand wanting to branch out away from his brother, because I think he, while he was at Purdue, tried to apply to get the Kentucky office coordinator, if I'm not mistaken. But once again, he's pretty much guaranteed a spot there with his brother. Why would he sign up for something that could potentially be 1 year and done?
Yeah.
And the whole thing that's confusing to me is if he is, if they are, you know, it's the whole word leaning to keep him.
Trending. Well, is the,
trending,
is the,
yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean? You know, if they want to keep him, you put a statement out now.
Right. That's yeah. I was listening to a Boyle Sports podcast earlier today, and this is the exact same thing. It's like if that was the decision, which, you know, at this point, like, I mean, I go back and forth all the time about, like, what I think is going to happen, you know, what I hope happen, all that kind of stuff. And, but yeah, my thought is like, if they, and this is the exact same thing, if you were going to keep him, why not just say something now or 2 weeks ago or whenever it was, whenever you decided, like, hey, we're no matter what happens the rest of this, yes, Ted Berge says to wait for the dreaded vote of confidence. If you would, we saw it with Billy Napier at Florida, yeah.
And it turned their season around.
It did, yeah. And then it's happened to somebody else too this year.
Well, Florida State didn't really put out a graphic, but they, you know, fired the coordinators and pretty much said Norvell's coming back.
But yeah, that was my thought. That's what makes me think, like, maybe he's not actually coming back. Is like, if he was coming back, like, why wouldn't you just, like, you know, remove all doubt and just, like, yeah, at least, I mean, as the AD, start taking the heat that you would get if he made
exactly
that.
You're gonna get backlash and heat anyways,
right?
Why not try to get it out of the way right away, then wait until the weekend? And you know, it was interesting. Ryan Walters, he was definitely more animated during the Michigan State game the other night with the officials. Something I've wanted him to be in. I've wanted him to be animated for a long time. That's one thing I miss about Jeff Brohm, amongst other things. His animation towards the officials sometimes is a little extreme, but still nice to see. So he was very animated, you could tell. And then after the game in the press conference, he got pretty emotional. Athletic Director Mike Bobinski was not present, which he normally is. So I don't know if we're looking too much into that or if that's definitely a telltale sign of what could be. Also, my kind of theory is maybe they're leaning towards keeping them, and that means Mike's trying to do some work on the back end to see what interest there is. And unfortunately, my guess is maybe he's not getting the interest that he thought he would be getting.
Yeah. I mean, as we've talked about in the past, like, if you do bring him back and you revamp the staff, I mean, yes, that's obviously one way, and it's been done before. Not very often, but it's been done.
Usually doesn't work very well, but
yeah, usually doesn't work very well. It just usually kind of kicks the can down the road one more year. It's like, you know, what happens if, you know, we're staring down end of October and produce 2-6 or whatever, like, well, you never know. But I feel like we've probably, like, you know, who would sign up for, I mean, essentially you're kind of signing on to come onto a sinking ship at the moment. And I think it's like the only way you get people is if you are just paying a ridiculous amount for a coordinator position or whatever, you know, whether it's an analyst or whatever it may be. I don't know. Yeah. I can't imagine the, and it's not like you'd be one thing too, if Walters was like a, you know, a veteran coach who had a lot of, you know, pull, or had a lot of, I'm trying, what's the, I'm blanking on the word, but he had a lot of guys under him in the past where he's got a lot of connections to where, like, if you come on for a year, you know, you can, you know, if it doesn't go well, you've at least, if you get in his grace, maybe he can help you get a job somewhere else or something like that. But just Walters doesn't have that, being a new coach, a young guy. I'm like, yeah, Ted Berge says, we'll guarantee two. I mean, that's true. Yeah, 2 years of money, which is something. But again, like a guy like Jamarcus Shepherd, who, unless he's just absolutely running out of Tuscaloosa, which, I mean, they might. I mean, they put up 3 points against a.
If they lose to Auburn, all bets are off. That's 4 losses in a year. So.
Yeah. Man, it must be nice.
yeah, it must be.
But unless, well,
it's like, must be nice to have $12 million like Michigan just to throw out and get a quarterback.
Yeah. The best
quarterback. Don't know how you compete with that.
Yeah. I just don't know. Yeah, it's at this point, I just want to know either way, which obviously we're going to know at this point next week, one way or the other.
Should know by Sunday.
Yeah.
Should, ideally. Yeah. I mean, signing day, national signing days next week's December 4th, which sounds like Purdue's probably going to get another decommitment that should be known to the public by Thursday. And then the portal opens the 9th. I mean,
that's the thing. It's like, if you're going to make it like, if you're going to make a change, like, you better have done a lot on the back end. Cause like, if you're, I don't know. I can't remember. What was the time frame after Brom left to when Walsh was at? It felt like an eternity, but it was probably like 5 days.
I think it was over a week.
Was it over a week?
Yeah. So the Louisville job came open the Monday after
the Big Ten championship.
It was like early Monday morning. It was announced that Satterfield was leaving for Cincinnati.
Yeah, because Babinski and Brom like had a press conference like that day.
Yes, they did for the bowl. It was already planned. And then, I mean, by Wednesday, I think it was, maybe Thursday, I think Wednesday, everything was done.
Yeah.
Signed, sealed, delivered. And then I think Walters was announced. I think it was on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. We did the podcast, I remember, right after it was announced. But yeah, it was as quick as I guess they could do without really preparing, which that's a whole conversation for another day. But yeah, Ted Berkey said it took a few weeks. I thought it was at least a week. So they're gonna have to move fast. Purdue's not in a good position no matter what. You know, of course, this is not going in the right direction. But there's no guarantee hiring a new person will, there's no guarantee results will turn around right away in a year. I'd be surprised, honestly. It should win more than a game next year with a new coach. We should win more than two games, hopefully, with a new coach, but still with the gauntlet of a schedule. And that might deter a lot of candidates away in the NIL situation. Honestly, I don't know the specifics, but I don't think Purdue's football's NIL situation is very good.
Yeah. At least not to its peer programs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's even to the rival down south right now.
Yeah.
So and I know I've said this before, their season of having 10 wins so far has not helped this situation at all, at all. It's made our fan base even more pissed off than they normally would be.
Yeah, that's what's crazy. Just like, I mean, maybe it's just you know, the era we're in of social media being so prevalent. I know social media was around in 2013 through 2015, 2016 when Hazel was there, but and obviously I wasn't on the boards at that point. I was on Knuckle Central.
And it wasn't this bad.
It just feels like the animosity is just a ungodly level right now, which is
it's bad. I mean, you know, I still get on the boards probably more than I should because I'm really interested in stuff going on this week, but I've blocked people. For the first time ever, there's just some people that are downright mean, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, we all wanted this to work. We're all pissed off it's not working.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, the head coach and the coaches are human beings, and they are trying their hardest. I mean, but.
Yeah.
So when people are saying personal things about hating the guy on a personal level, I think that's a little extreme.
Right.
But, man, it's this season's been miserable. Last season had a few bright spots, especially late in the season. I mean, maybe we're having a different conversation if they pulled that game out against Michigan State or the games out against Michigan State, Northwestern, and Illinois, and you got four wins right now.
Yeah, I mean,
conversation.
Right about where we thought we'd be. I mean, obviously,
three conference wins.
You'd be a little worried that, like, you know, they got their doors blown off so many times. But at least against your peer. But also, you could flip side is like, okay, that was. Aside from Wisconsin, it was, you know, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State. It was the top five teams. You also just wonder, too, if like last year and this year just reversed. If this was last year and last year was this year, it'd be totally different.
And that's what is frustrating. I think we've proved the last 2 months we can compete with the programs that have talent equivalent to us or maybe just a little better. But we're not getting over the hump and beating those teams. We're just making stupid mistakes and beating ourselves. Yeah. Whether it's dropping a bomb that you beat the guy by 20 yards or it's dumb coaching decisions against Northwestern. Illinois can't stop a 3rd and 18 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then going for two in overtime, which is whatever at this point.
Yeah.
But, it's I really don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Should he be fired? Yeah, he should. Will he? I honestly don't know. I've been saying no lately because just from what I read online, but that could all be smoke and mirrors.
Right. Which is, again, like just like an interesting tactic. Like,
no, it's pretty dumb, but
yeah. It's like, yeah, it's like, what do you think was going to be the reaction if you, when that whole thing was like floated out about, you know, hey, Lena, yeah, you might be coming back. It's like,
yeah,
it's just, yeah. I mean, ever since, I mean, I think like Notre Dame game lost a lot of people.
Sure.
Like, in fact, you had 2 weeks and they were coming off, you know, a pretty bad loss against Northern Illinois. And, you know, again, like pretty looked impressive against Indiana State, and
yeah,
we were, which feels like a lifetime ago, like yeah, how confident we were feeling.
I mean, I will say, look what Notre Dame's done to everybody. Every single opponent except Louisville. They are a legit elite team.
Yeah.
But just starting your season out, that puts a crack in the foundation right away. And then it was, we've talked about this, the next 3 weeks after that, it was, you know, they didn't respond to Oregon State and lost, then returned at home and kept it close for three quarters with Nebraska, but then lost it completely in the fourth quarter, then going up in Wisconsin and just getting derailed like they did. I mean, yeah, just kind of lost everything. Big Time Boiler on YouTube. What's trending, guys? Yeah, that's the word of the night, isn't it? Trending. We're trying word to figure out week. What the hell that means. So, not Purdue football, that's for damn sure. Walters has to go. Hopefully Babinski doesn't screw this up. I'd feel a lot better if his retirement wasn't on the horizon.
That's the thing. That's just like, I go back and forth too, of like, because I get the whole really do, you know, not hiring a new guy and then all of a sudden retiring and bringing another AD who didn't hire this coach.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's just like if, you know, I just can't imagine what the response is going to be if they announce, like, if come Sunday they say, hey, he's coming back. And just like the, it's gonna be anarchy, yeah, in a way.
I mean, I
get from that side, again, like, you know, you don't want to, you know, but at the same time, it's like you have to do what's best for the university at this point in time.
Well, and do you think, is there any possible way, and I'm not trying to offend by Mike Bobinski here, I'm just throwing out some for conversation. Is there any way this is above him? Is this the board of trustees and the president?
I mean, I feel like that's why you hire an AD, though. Like, yeah, at that point, then, like, why have an AD?
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
It's Purdue, though. Purdue's made some questionable decisions in the past when it comes to athletics and saving money.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking with a friend of mine who's a Tennessee fan, and he was, like, we were talking. He was texting me on Friday night during the game and about, hey, you know, who you guys going after once Walters is gone, yada, yada. And I was like, I haven't really thought about a list until I'm just kind of waiting for to see what happens. I'll think about it then. And then I was mentioning, you know, he didn't know the whole thing about Babinski potentially retiring. He's like, actually, he goes, I understand that. Like, that's what Tennessee did. And it was absolutely massive that they kind of waited until they got a new AD to then hire what now Heupel, which has turned out to be pretty good for them.
Big Time Boiler on YouTube. Something positive. A trusted source I have that is usually is right, thinks he is getting fired from what they are hearing.
I mean, go ahead and ask. I mean, Tanner, right now on what, Tuesday, November 26th at 8:19 p.m. Eastern, what is your gut telling you? Is he on come Sunday morning? Is he going to be gone, or is he staying around for year three?
My gut's telling me he's staying around. I hope I'm wrong.
Really?
Yeah, I hope I'm wrong.
I've been on that train for like the last like 2 weeks, but I think something today, I was just the Boyle Sports podcast or what, but I flip at the, I think he's gone.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I don't know. I feel like this whole thing's been screwed up so bad.
Yeah.
Either way, it's been screwed up so bad. It's just, I just still can't believe how fast this went downhill.
Oh my God.
It's just what shocks me.
And
the thing is, you know, yeah, you could turn a season around in 1 year. We've seen it because of the portal. We've also seen programs go the opposite direction because of the portal in 1 year. That can happen a lot too. I mean, you're going to see teams get in playoff contention that weren't even close the year before, but you're also going to see teams that were in playoff contention or in the playoff 1 year and lose 4 to 5 games the next year. Mm-hmm. It's just the way college athletics is now. I mean,
Florida State, they were, you know, they were non-injury away from making the 14. He whiffed
on a lot of portals. Yep.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden now they're, I mean, Purdue level bad.
And you know, a lot's still got to be sorted out with the NIL stuff. I haven't looked in enough to even speak on it with, you know, the $22 million. I know that's different. $22 million for the
Revenue sharing.
For revenue sharing and whatever is going on that's supposed to be passed eventually by the legal system, like in the summer. Yeah, all that stuff's got to get sorted out. But whoever Purdue hires, they can't whiff. Because they can't be sitting here 2 years from now and do this. Actually, they won't be sitting here 2 years from now and doing it. If we're sitting here 2 years from now, if it's 2026, and we're going into the bucket game and the guy has five combined wins, he's still coming back for 2027. It's Purdue. They're not going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
not only is not Purdue, like, it's not really the norm in college football. I mean, we did see Tulsa can Kevin Wilson this week after 2 years, but you look at the grand scope of things. Mack Brown became the first Power Four conference coach of the season fired today, and the main reason he was fired is they wanted to retire and he wouldn't retire. So I mean, there's a reason people aren't firing coaches, because there's a lot of others outside of Ryan Walters that deserve to be fired right now that aren't.
That was the other thing too, is just like, you know, as I mean, a couple weeks ago, you know, we thought like, hey, there could be some really attractive jobs open this you know, coaching carousel season with, you know, there were thoughts of Florida opening up, Florida State, Oklahoma opening up. And so I was like, well, you know, if you're Purdue, you know, you just don't, we're not going to have the backing to get someone, you know, get an A-lister like for those. But now it's like, okay, Florida's all of a sudden 6-6, you know, Florida State doesn't seem to be firing Norvell. Oklahoma doesn't seem like they're going to fire whatever his name is.
Not especially after beating Alabama. Yeah.
Right. Venables. So it's like, you know, if you're Purdue, I mean, North Carolina is a very attractive job. I think it's a very underrated football job. I mean, they've got a lot of money. But I mean, it's better than competing against, you know, four SEC teams.
Yeah. Or Penn State or USC whatever jobs could come open next year.
You know, Dan Lanning all of a sudden jumps to the NFL or something. Like all of a sudden, like Oregon becomes, which all of a sudden, a lot of this stuff can still happen.
LSU could still come over open, I guess. Yeah. But let's be honest, LSU job coming open is not going to affect Purdue.
No.
They're not going after the same pool of candidates. We will see. We will see what happens. I'm anxious for it to be Sunday. I mean, I guess, you know, either way, I hope we beat Indiana. Either way, ruin their team. But
that's a group chat. If that were to happen, I won't stop laughing for an entire year. Like, I would be laughing 365 straight days, because it would just be hysterical.
They got the chance to do the funniest thing, but it's going to take quite an effort from Purdue. And honestly, it's also going to take an effort from Indiana beating themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Because Purdue's defense just is not good enough to get turnovers. I mean, I've waited all year for a game to get out with like a pick six or a couple fluke things and be up 14-0. We haven't seen it. So why would it happen now?
Yeah. And, you know, if you watched, you know, the Indiana versus Ohio State game or even their Michigan game, you know, you saw if teams can get pressure on the quarterback, you know, they have a lot of success against them. But just Purdue just has not got that either, unfortunately.
Nope. And then they blitz a lot and still don't get pressure. If you can, Indiana has proven in the last two games, I know it's against talent a lot higher level than Purdue has in Ohio State and Michigan, but if you can keep them in a close game, they do tense up. Even against Michigan, they were tensing up bad. And if Michigan's offense could have done anything, that game's probably a different story. But this was, I mean, that crowd down Bloomington is going to be fired up. Not only has Purdue won three bucket games in a row and dominates a series, this is arguably IU's biggest regular season game in program history with everything that's on the line.
Yeah. After, 3:30 last Saturday, they were probably sweating a little bit. Then the SEC gift wrapped them three or four losses that I assume the bracket may even be out now. I can check. I assume they're still probably pretty safe. I can try and pull that up while we're talking.
I'd be interested.
But yeah, it's I just don't think it's gonna be pretty.
No, and they do have all the pressure in the world on them.
They do.
No pressure. And you know, one thing, I think the guys will come out and compete hard. I mean, not only is it your rival, you do have a chance to do the funniest thing ever. And what showed me a glimpse of hope from at least a competitive spirit is Purdue could have folded so easily down 24-3.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing to play for. And they fought back and made it a one score game and honestly should have tied it up probably a couple different times. But they didn't and they lost. So it doesn't really matter. But
yeah. Looks like the show's getting ready to get ready to start because the Memphis Michigan State game just ended. Memphis won by eight.
Good.
We'll know the rankings shortly.
Good. But I mean, they still lost the game. I thought Hussekar played really well.
I thought he did too. Yeah.
He doesn't always have a lot of help around him, but I thought he
was
tough. And I mean, he threw for over 300 yards. That's the only second time he's done that at Purdue. The other one was in a loss to Syracuse last year.
Yeah.
So I thought he played well enough to win. And the defense, for us, as bad they are, they played pretty well in the second half.
Pitched a shutout in the second half. That's, you know, you gave the offense a chance. The problem is we just dug such a big hole that it was just hard to dig ourselves out of. And, you know, had a chance at the end to drive down and tie and just couldn't get it done.
It's just like, where was this effort a couple months ago at times?
Yeah.
Why couldn't we play in the second half to start the game ever?
Right.
We are so bad in the first quarter, having 13 points on the season. And I cringe every time we get in the red zone because I'm like, we're not scoring.
Yeah. It's like, just like, can we get a play where I have like a 25 and just get a score from there? And because man.
Yeah. But I wish I knew how the players felt about Ryan Walters and the current staff. I mean, you would think if they didn't like him, a lot of something would get leaked.
Yeah.
I haven't really seen any of that. I mean, you see some stuff from some former players, but they're mostly players under Jeff Brohm. So I don't know really how to take that. But just interesting because it's interesting. The ones that might be on the edge of jumping in the portal or not, it would just be interesting to know their thought process on whether their decision hinges on if the staff's retained or overturned.
Right. Yeah.
So,
I mean, I like to think that they like him because like I said, they fought like, I definitely think this is different for as much as the season resembles a Hazel year and the darkness of the Hazel years. Like, I feel like the guys on this team are fighting more than those teams really ever did.
I agree. I mean, yeah, we've got our doors absolutely blown off.
But also I do want to, is part of that because now they can essentially, it's like every game's an audition for another team potentially. So like, is that part of it? I'm sure it's a little bit of both. Yeah. But
I hate even talking about this season in the 2013 season because it's just miserable. But we have been, even though we've got our doors blown off many times, we've been more competitive in the losses than 2013.
Yeah.
Not all the losses, but the close losses, if that makes sense. I know that's worded really weird how I just said that. But I mean, I remember Hazel's team losing to Illinois by 3, but besides that, I don't remember a close loss that year.
Yeah.
But yeah. Eddie Money on YouTube. Keep your heads up, boiler up. Trying to, Eddie.
Trying
to. We try to be glass half full on this podcast.
Yeah.
This season has been rough.
Yeah.
Has been rough. But looking at it, is bucket week. Or did you have anything else you want to say about Michigan State?
No. Yeah. Well, I guess there was the Thiemann pick that it's like we've had this a couple times, you know, Illinois game, it was the fumble that wasn't called, and like it's very easy to, you know,
how nice would it be to have that win now that Illinois
is
probably gonna become a 9-win team this week.
Yeah. But it's also like, you know, you when you're just a bad team and you do stupid stuff like those breaks just don't go your way. It's just kind of see it in basketball all the time and football's no different. It's just like, it'd be nice to have those back, but there was probably six other plays that happened that if had we, you know, been competent It could have changed.
And Michigan takes advantage of one of those with picking off Hudson when the ball gets swatted up in the air and the guy flat out extension dives and catches it. I mean, that's plays we don't make. And they do. So
their quarterback is not good. That's what that was.
Aiden Childs, he's athletic, but he's not good.
Yeah, he could be. I'm sure, obviously, he could be good. Obviously, he's a Division I quarterback. But I'm just like, I was watching the game. I'm like, God, this guy's not good. Like, we've seen some good quarterbacks this year. We're gonna see one on Saturday, but it's like, man, he. I said it before last week's pod. I was like, I think he's thrown like the most turnover prone balls like out of any quarterback this season. So it was some crazy stat like that.
Yeah, Rourke will kill us with his arm. At least he won't kill us with his legs.
Yeah.
That's what kills us the most. Seems like quarterbacks who can scramble their way out of pressure.
Yeah.
But looking at the overall bucket series all time, Purdue leads series 77 wins, the 42 losses, 6 ties. The record at Ross State Stadium, 40 wins, 23 losses, 4 ties. The record down at Memorial Stadium, 36 wins, 19 losses, 2 ties. Purdue's on a 3-game win streak. The last 10 matchups, 5-5. Both ways. So, largest margin of victory for the Boilermakers, 68-0 on November 5th, 1892. Smallest margin of victory is 15-14 on November 25th, 1989. And I believe the largest margin of victory for the Hoosiers, let me find it here. 1988, it was in West Lafayette. Hoosiers won 52-7. So, they've put up more points. 2013, they won 56-35. Well, 56-36, excuse me. But they also put up 54 on us in 2015 as well. But yeah, they're going to be out for blood. I mean, they're mad.
Yeah.
Ohio State, they know they have to put up style points.
Yep.
And I don't even think they want to keep this game close because even if it's win, the committee's going to be like, eh.
Because yeah, the narrative. I know Joe Klatt's pushing. He did the game, and they're pushing like, oh, you know, they're just their special teams mistakes, you know, cost them. It's like, well, yeah, it seems, but like I watched the game, but like they scored in the first drive, and the last drive was garbage points because it was over. But it was like between those two things, they had like no offense.
Yeah.
So it's just like the game was not close.
And you saying, Ohio State had some blunders too.
Yeah, they went for it on 4th and 1, like on the goal line out of the pistol. And so they didn't get that, which obviously credit to the defensive line for stopping. But it was again, I was like, why not just? I mean, you got your Ohio State. Why not just get up behind line and go? Yeah. And then they threw a pick where it bounced off the receiver's hands and kind of one of those fluky plays. But it's like, you know, their first 4 red zone appearances, they only scored twice. So it's like it could have been really bad because there's also obviously only put up like 350 offensive yards. Like, well, one of their possessions got taken away completely because they returned a punt. So like there was just that was one offensive possession that just got negated. But yeah, they're going to need to. Yeah, they cannot have this game be close. They cannot have this game be close.
No, and I'm not talking about, you know, they could probably let Purdue cover the spread and still be okay, but they can't afford a 10 point or less or anything like that. So, yeah, it's gonna be interesting. It's definitely the least fired up I've been about a bucket game in a long, long time. I mean, even 2019 when we were struggling, they had a pretty good season. It was still at home, and I'm like, we can pull off the upset. And we hung in there, losing double overtime, 44-41. But even the Hazel years, I don't remember going into a game like this just thinking, oh God. But Indiana hadn't had 10 wins either going into that game. And 7 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. I don't ever recall a night start for a bucket game. We've had plenty of 3:30s.
I think I saw someone, one of their writers, said this is the first bucket game, night bucket game.
Yeah, that would make sense.
They that Mooney, that Mooney, 10th, by the way, in the rankings.
They fell to 10th, so AP ended. So they're still in, but by a comfortable margin. Thad Mooney on Facebook, special teams doesn't make up for the lack of offense. A pure domination by OSU on both sides of the ball. That game was a preview if IU plays any of the top 6 teams in the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them winning the game in the playoff if they make it, because not only are they going to play unless, good unless competition.
They're hosting, unless they're hosting.
Yeah, like, and I don't see that happening. Yeah. So, I mean, still good for them. I mean, to play in the playoff, but
there's a lot of hubbub because I think Alabama was 13th in the college football. People are going nuts. I'm trying to sound like a bracket's been released yet. Yeah, I haven't seen the bracket yet. Tennessee's number eight.
Yeah, I don't have
ninth.
I don't have a lot else to talk about it, really.
No, Sam. Yeah, it's the probably the least looked game, or least the least looking forward to. I'm looking for a game I've had in a long time of this series, just because it's
Well, and I feel really bad for you because your wife's an IU grad, and that's gonna make it a little worse.
Yeah,
yeah. So, but elsewhere around the Big Ten, it is rivalry week, so we got some other games to try to predict. Starting with the game at noon, 6-5 Michigan at 10-1 Ohio State. Ohio State's a 21-point favorite.
So this has got to be one of the larger spreads in this series in a while.
I would think so.
Fox Big Noon ruins another one. But yeah, Ohio State blows their doors off.
Yep, I agree. And I forgot about the two Friday games. Battle for the Axe. Minnesota at Wisconsin. Minnesota 6-5, so they're in a bowl. Wisconsin's not in a bowl at 5-6. Wisconsin's 2-point favorite.
I'll take Wisconsin.
I'll take Minnesota. I just don't like the way Wisconsin's playing, and I think Fickell's on the hot seat going into next year.
Yeah.
Nebraska, they're bowl eligible for the first time since 2016, and they did a field rushing to celebrate. Wow, how that program has fallen.
Yeah, I mean, I get like, I saw you tweet something. I mean, I responded to somebody on, I think it was Boiler in Texas on Twitter about people kind of poking fun of them. So I was like, you know, we did do that in 2017 after we won the bucket. So I was like, it was our first time being bowl eligible since
won 9 games the previous 4 years.
I know, but they haven't been bowl eligible since 2016. Like, it's been almost a decade.
We also haven't won national championships in football. They have.
That's true.
There was that one time nobody used to go into Nebraska and win.
Yeah, that's true. That's
but I get what you're saying. I mean, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I think it's just that. Yeah, just all that pent up release.
Yeah.
Well,
in like in 2017, bowl games were still a big deal. I feel like now it's like, all right, is half your roster even going to play in that bowl game, Nebraska? Right.
Yeah, especially especially now with the 12 team playoff. Yeah, if you're not in it, like,
I got the bracket here. That Mooney just sent me. Nope, that's just the seeding. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Oregon 1, Ohio State 2, which I thought maybe Ohio State may make a case for number 1, but obviously Oregon beat them, so no. Texas 3, Penn State 4. Anybody. Yeah, Notre Dame 5, Miami 6, Georgia 7, Tennessee 8, SMU 9, IU 10, Boise 11, Clemson 12, Bama 13, Ole Miss 14. I watched the end of that game, man. Dart, whatever his name is, man, that was just horrible execution.
So I see Arizona State on there, but what seed? Because they're right behind Boise.
They're ranked 16.
But they're winning the Big 12 right now.
Okay.
That's why. I mean, if they win this weekend, that's their 10th win, and they're in the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, so the...
Just quite a turnaround for 3-9 last year.
Wow, the current... Oh, wait. Wait, what is this?
All right, here's the bracket. Here's the bracket.
Okay.
So we got 12 seed Arizona State at number 5 Ohio State. And the winner would then play 4 Boise State in the quarterfinals. Got 9 seeded Tennessee at 8 seeded Georgia, with the winner playing number 1 Oregon. 11 seeded Indiana facing on the road, 6 seeded Penn State, winner playing 3 seeded Miami.
Which that'd be an interesting storyline, because obviously Penn State's defensive coordinator is Tom Allen. So that's
true. Oh my God, he'd be out for blood. And then 10 seeded SMU at number 7 Notre Dame, winner playing number 2 Texas. Interesting.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of the... I mean, it's going to be so hard to do this now just with as large as these conferences are, but the, you know, IU playing Penn State, Tennessee playing Georgia, like interconference but you can only do so much.
Hell, we're even seeing it in college basketball now. You used to not be able to play your conference opponents in the first 2 rounds. Now you're seeing conference opponents, not the first round, but match up in second round all the time. So, Nebraska at Iowa. Iowa's 6-point favorite. I'm taking Iowa.
I'm taking Iowa. Yeah. I think Nebraska's riding a little too high.
Number 25, Illinois, is technically at Northwestern, but I believe this game's in Wrigley Field. If the Illini win, they win their ninth game, but they're only 7.5-point favorites.
So ESPN up says this is at the Lanny and Sharon Martin Stadium. I assume that's in.
Well, our buddy's wrong then. That said, that he's a Illinois fan. I asked him yesterday. He's like, yeah, I think it's out Wrigley Field. So I blame him.
Yeah. Either way,
I'm taking Illinois.
That. Yeah.
Fresno State at UCLA. UCLA is 8-point favorite. Fresno State is bowl eligible, 6-5, but I'm taking UCLA at home.
Yep.
Number six or five, whatever poll you want to look at, Notre Dame, 10-1. At 6-5, USC, battle for the jewel Chalele. Notre Dame, 7.5-point favorites, 3:30 starting on CBS, so this is 12:30 Pacific time.
Wow. Absolute must win for Notre Dame for them to keep their playoff spots with not being able to play a conference championship. So I think Notre Dame goes in there and whoops them.
I do too. Maryland at Penn State. Penn State's 25-point favorite. I think Penn State rolls.
Yeah, I think it's probably a pretty boring game.
Rutgers at Michigan State. Rutgers bowl eligible, 6-5. Michigan State needs this one at 5-6. Michigan State is a 1.5-point favorite.
Give me Rutgers in the upset.
I'll take Sparty. I don't really think either team's all that great. 6-5 Washington at number one, Oregon 11-0 and 19-point favorites for the Ducks.
7:30 start, so it's a 4:30 start out there.
Yep, and it's the NBC night game. Yep.
Night game that won't end at night.
Right.
Oregon large. Yeah, they can't again. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine they'd be looking towards the Big Ten championship, but I think they wax them.
And before we do the Purdue Indiana score prediction and all that good stuff, any top 25 matchup you want to predict, I'll let you choose. I mean, there's some decent, but there's others that are just not good.
Where does Colorado, are they still eligible for the Big 10 or Big 12 champion?
They have to have a lot of help. They got to win and have like two of the three other teams lose.
Gotcha.
So they're pretty much out now, losing to Kansas. Thank God.
I'm actually really intrigued with Tennessee at Vanderbilt. Tennessee's only a 10.5-point favorite. Obviously, Vanderbilt's been impressive for Vandy standards. I still think Tennessee goes there.
I think so too.
South Carolina at Clemson. Clemson's kind of got an outside shot. Are they in the bracket?
No, they're 12th though. 12th, yes, right?
They need. I don't know where they fall in the. Look it up.
They're right behind Miami in the ACC. I think they got two losses. Miami has one, I believe, and I don't think they played.
In the conference, it's so right now the conference is SMU 7-0.
Oh, I forgot about SMU. Yep.
Clemson 7-1, Miami 6-1. Yeah, so
they would need Miami to lose.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Miami plays at Syracuse. That could be a scary little game.
Be scary. Give me Clemson, though.
Yep. I like Clemson as well. Texas A&M. Texas 5.5-point favorites. First time they've played in over a decade. I'm glad these two are going to play again now that they're conference rivals, because this was a fun. Yeah.
Do they play this
rivalry?
Do they play it? Like, are they playing it in at Kyle Field or? Yeah, they are. Okay, cool. I was wondering ABC. If they just went stupid and play it in like Dallas or something stupid.
Yeah.
But give me Texas in that one. Although, have you heard about what's going on with Ewers? Do we know?
Yeah. There's a rumor out there today he's going to hit the portal after the season.
Wow. That's crazy.
Just because Manning and then their other, I don't know if it's incoming freshman or a freshman on the team now.
This would be his third school because he went to Ohio State, didn't he?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I had a laugh. People on the message boards like, I don't know if I'd want him. It's a lot like Hudson Carman. I'd take him in a heartbeat. Are you kidding me? Take him and build your offense around him.
Jeez. Right. This kid's primary. Played.
I will take A&M in the upset. I don't know. I don't know why. Some chaos, I guess.
Why not?
But Josh Kustel, sorry if I mispronounced your last name. What's your Purdue IU prediction. And he also says Walter's got to burn the portal up this year and Hudson trash. I thought Hudson played pretty good Saturday, all things considered, or Friday, all things considered. Yeah, Webby, let's, all right, let's do our spicy bowl prediction, our score prediction, and MVP for the game.
God.
Yeah.
Spicy prediction. Well, last week I said we were going to get like, what, 3 picks? We got none.
Yep. We got one. And just got called back.
Man. Purdue scores on their first possession.
No way in hell, but I like it. Purdue makes 3 field goals.
Okay.
Don't see that happening either, but we got to be spicy and bold, right?
Yeah.
God, man, we could have been a not top 10 again this week for that field goal attempt at Michigan State with a bad snap, low hold, and kicking it right into our lineman's back or head or wherever it hit him. So, yeah. Josh said we did move the ball against Ohio State and Oregon. It's possible.
We did. Just get 25 yards out and just start taking shots because we can't get in from the 5.
That Moody said Ewers had the early enroll at OSU, then to Texas for 3 years. I'd take him for a year if he brings the mullet back.
Hell yeah.
I don't think we have enough NIL to even close. No. He was the first kid out of high school to make – he was making $1 million when he stepped foot on Ohio State's campus. Right. Now that's nothing. Now you got guys making 12 mil. God, cannot imagine. All right, score prediction and MVP.
Okay, my heart says like
– Do we cover before you throw a spread out there? Do we cover the 29.5?
No.
No?
No, I don't think we do.
Okay.
My heart says like 52 to 10. My head says like 72 to 3. Because I think they're just
– I think it's worse than the Notre Dame game?
I think – I mean, Cignetti's a psycho.
He's a douchebag. He is.
I think he's going to be out for blood. This being a rivalry game, he knows what it means to people. I'm sure he probably heard, stuff when he came in about how Purdue was obviously the better team in we beat him last year. They put up. They didn't let up against Western Illinois. They're not going to let up against us.
It's true. I'm going to be a little more positive. 49-21 IU.
Okay.
So we barely covered spread. 28-point loss. But nothing. Well, a Purdue win would shock me. But nothing in defeat would shock me, I guess. MVP of the game.
Give me Mockabee.
Okay.
Although they do have a good run defense, so maybe it's a reach, but I'll take it.
I just figured out. I said we're gonna kick 3 field goals, and then I said we're gonna score 21 points. I didn't do that math very well.
So that says I guess the highest point difference for either. I'm pretty sure Purdue won like 68 to nothing in like the 1800s. So.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, it was 68-0 on November 5th, 1892. Was the biggest point differential in the series history.
Although I did just say they were going 72-3, so that does make the differential.
Yeah, it does. MVP, I guess Ben Freehill for me. I guess
he's been consistent.
Oh boy. Let's see. Josh has a couple comments here. He says Purdue NIL is a joke, and then he said we did get Hudson at a value $600,000 and a lease on a truck. They better pass to a wide open Mockabee. Yeah, you gotta get Mock the ball. And he said Ohio State was burning IU up passing to the flats. Yeah, get Mockabee the ball, get him in one on one situation, see if he can't beat his guy. I agree. Yeah. Wholeheartedly. I mean, I'm sure Reggie Love's got to get his touches. I still think there was something in that guy's contract, in his portal contract or his agreement to come here. Because no offense to him, I don't understand why he gets 50-50 carries of Mockbee. I just don't. Yeah. Yeah, and like Josh said, it might be Mockbee's last game. It could be a lot of guys' last game. I mean, there's quite a few guys I still would like to see back in the Golden Black next year come game one. And if Purdue loses some of those guys, I think Purdue's going to be even more trouble than they probably already will be. And that's not good. But, yeah. Yeah. And he said he's heard IU has offered $350,000. It'd be interesting to see what he's making at Purdue right now. I know nothing about anybody's NIL contract, except we know Braden Smith on basketball side is making $1.1 million because he's top five in the Big Ten. So, other than that, I don't know.
I think that's the valuation. I don't think it's an actual number he's making. I think it's just like what he's worth.
Okay. Well, he's driving Cybertruck, so he's doing decent stuff. And I saw multiple people buying players' jerseys after the game the other day. Yeah. Which was interesting because the bookstore was only carrying, they have more online, but the bookstore was only carrying First, Lawyer, Smith, Kaufman, Wren, and Colvin. Numbers 1 through 5.
Interesting.
So, yeah. All right. Well,
should we touch briefly on
basketball?
Yeah.
Let me switch the background here. Yeah, since last time we talked, Purdue lost at Marquette last Tuesday night. Final score, they end up losing by 18 points. Kind of felt like a 18-point loss in some ways the whole time. Purdue was within 7.5. Score felt closer than the game really did. Purdue hung in there till about 9 to 10 minutes left, and Marquette kind of opened it up. But kudos Marquette. They played well. Shaka runs a good program there, a lot like Matt Painter runs at Purdue.
Yeah, they're old.
They're old. They're physical. They're athletic. They're aggressive. They finish at the rim. They don't kick out for threes. And Purdue turned it over a crap ton. So it was just not Purdue's night. Ended their non-conference winning streak at, 38 in a row? Or 36? 39. But at least for the first time in darn near 4 years, we did not get court rushed in a loss.
Yeah. Even Purdue was down like 6 or 7. It's like, man, you could just tell like things were so difficult on offense for Purdue to get anything. And I just kind of just had that feeling in the pit of my stomach, like, this is not going to, I mean, it's going to take, you know, one little spurt by Marquette or one little dry spill by Purdue, and it's going to be all of a sudden a 15-point game. And sure enough, that's kind of what happened. I think they got like 18 points off turnovers or something. They had, I think, at least 4 or 5, like essentially pick sixes going the other way. Like it was, I hate, because you know, people will be like, oh, that's the way to beat Purdue. That's the way to beat Purdue. It's just good. But also too, like the way that they're playing defense may not always be the way you can play. Cause like, the officials were letting a lot of stuff happen. Like I felt like every time there was a pick six, there was some Purdue player on the ground, which you don't just end up on the ground for no reason. Like it's a physical game, which obviously they're letting it go both ways, but that's not always the way it's going to be the case. It was kind of, I think it sucks that we finally lost the game in non-con, but I think obviously
we knew it was going to happen.
It's going to happen eventually. The freshmen had a freshman games, you know, Jakari and CJ didn't play well, which is fine. Rather than get this now versus, you know, in late February, early March or whatever, get some good experience. It sucked, but like I said, the Marquette's a really good team and we'll see them in Mackey next year.
Yeah, we will. Like we mentioned last week, we'll go down to Alabama next year and we'll see Auburn next year in Indianapolis. So three big time opponents right there. We don't know our tournament yet for next year, which is kind of interesting. But I wasn't too discouraged after the Marquette game. I didn't lose any sleep over it like I would have some other losses in the past.
I was a little bummed. It was kind of like a blowout. But same time, like it's not like it was like we didn't lose like to like at Ohio or something that we could have like a couple years ago where we kind of had to scratch and claw our way out of that one.
Forgot about that game.
Yeah. No jail had a really cool dunk. It's a really good team. I mean, the way that UConn's played the last 2 days, you know, Marquette may be the top team in the Big East right now.
Creighton got smacked today.
Yeah, Creighton's getting smacked around.
It's so early.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But I mean, you know, kudos to Purdue for going on the road and into a, sure. a good environment. I mean, Shaka's had Purdue's number multiple times, whether it was at Texas or at VCU or not. I mean, I think this might be his first win against Purdue at Marquette, though, I think.
Was he there? Or was Buzz still there when they beat us in 18-19 or 19-20, whatever?
I feel like that would have been
17-18, whatever.
Because yeah, Shaka was still at Texas. Because Shaka was at Texas when
right. we
went there, and then they came to Purdue.
Right. Okay. So Buzz would have been there,
which was 18-19 and 19-20.
Okay.
So yeah,
you're right.
But so yeah,
that's, I mean, that's our last non-conference home loss is Texas in 19-20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
It should stay that way. I mean, if we lose one of our remaining home games, there's non-conference, there's a problem.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like similar to you. Like, I didn't really get too mad during the game. Yeah, it sucked. But at the same time, it was just like, build off it. You know, don't let it.
Learn from it.
Learn from it. You know, hopefully didn't, you know, translate to the next game against Marshall, which it didn't.
It didn't.
Purdue cruised to one of you were there.
I was there. Pretty boring game.
Yeah.
Tons of fouls. Took forever. Couldn't get in rhythm. Happened.
Like, it took 2 hours.
They shot it absolutely pathetic. I don't know if I've ever seen a team come to Mackey and shoot it worse. Wasn't sold out. I mean, it was probably sold out with tickets bought, but the attendance was not sold out. The paint crew had, I think, on both sides, at least 4 rows at the top empty. Mm. A lot of people left early, which I don't blame them. There's nice things about noon. Saturday starts, which you got the rest of your day to do whatever, but also it can be kind of tough to make the game with other family activities and things going on. Biggest cheer of the day was Julia Edie being shown on the Jumbotron, the big screen. Lance Jones getting his rings for the Big Ten Championship in the Final Four, and then leading his Lance dance to start the second half was pretty cool. Other than that, Purdue played fine. It was weird not seeing Braden Smith score, but he didn't need to. And I think that was just part of the game where just get everybody else involved. I mean, it was fun being back in Mackey. It was my first time all year so far, but a pretty, pretty boring game overall for what it's worth. Evan, you froze on my end. I don't know if I'm frozen on everybody else's end. If so, I'm just talking out loud and nobody's hearing me. But Purdue took care of business like they should, and now they got a 2-day holiday tournament. Okay, I got you back. Did I freeze on your end?
I think it was me because it frozen, and then all of a sudden, like, both of our screens were like black. I had just pulled up another browser to try and get back in.
I was even talking. I'm like, well, if I'm frozen, I'm talking and nobody's hearing me. So.
Yeah, who's not talking? So if I wasn't frozen, then no boy.
Purdue got the job done. It was a Big Ten Plus game, so cancel your subscriptions. Hopefully everybody's having better luck than I am. I'm going to have to call them because I've tried on my phone. I've tried on my computer, and it just spins for me and spins when I'm trying to cancel.
I think it's essentially just like use unsubscribe is like what
I did. Yeah, when I click unsubscribe, it just spins. Huh. And then I go in the next day and check, and it still shows I have an account. So I might have to end up calling them. I don't know what's going on. So, because I think you're supposed to be able to hit unsubscribe like twice, and I only hit it once. So, but like I said, Purdue's got a holiday tournament coming up in San Diego, Thanksgiving Day at 3:00 on FS1. Final Four rematch against the NC State Wolfpack, who are undefeated so far but haven't played absolutely nobody. Purdue's 3-2 all time against NC State. The other matchups besides last year, Purdue won in overtime in Brooklyn in the 21-22 season, beat them at home in 2014-2015, lost down in Raleigh in 04-05, and lost in West Lafayette in the 99-2000 season. And then win or lose, Purdue will be playing at 3:30 or 6:00 on Friday, on Black Friday, playing either BYU, who Purdue's 1-0 all time against, and that was in the Maui Invitational in 14-15. Purdue won an overtime game, 87-85, thanks to A.J. Hammonds. Cannon Catchings would be the storyline in this one.
Purdue
commit that was basically on campus, then decided he didn't want to be on Purdue anymore, and we let him go. He's having a pretty good year, and he's projected first round draft pick so far. And if they don't play BYU, they'll be playing Ole Miss and our old buddy Chris Beard, which we have history with there. And I don't know if Purdue's ever played Mississippi in men's basketball. I found women's basketball history, series history, but I did not find anything on the men's side. So
who was the player for Ole Miss back like when we were growing up?
Marshall Henderson.
Marshall Henderson.
Cockiest SOB, but I love to watch him play. Dude didn't meet a shot he didn't like.
Those are the fun days. They said the tournament was supposed to have Arkansas and Notre Dame, and then they ended up dipping for this player.
A little more enjoyable.
Cool. Yeah, they're playing the Players Era tournament in Vegas, which
because it was always supposed to be BYU, right?
Yes.
NC State and Ole Miss replaced them.
Yeah. As far as I can remember, yes. But there's been some great basketball on. This is like an awesome time of year with the Maui going on. Maui obviously is kind of the headliner. But there's some other, you know, those Players Era tournament going on. You've got Duke and Kansas playing tonight, I think just in Vegas, just as a one-off. You've seen UConn go down two games.
Hopefully Mason punks Henderson tonight. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Dickerson, not Henderson, Hunter Dickinson.
Yeah. it's just really, this is always a great, the one thing I am mad about is that they don't do the 24-hour day anymore, which is a bummer.
Yeah, they you got this, then Big Ten play. We starting right around the corner. And Purdue doesn't have the easiest opponents. Penn State and Maryland, with two opponents that, along with UCLA, supposedly play the closest defense that you'll see to Marquette in conference play. So
and I know, Ace Baldwin for Penn State at Big Ten Media Day.
Did they beat Clemson today?
No.
No.
God. They lost, but Big Ten Media Day, they asked Ace Baldwin Thursday game he's looking forward to. He said playing Purdue because he wants to guard Braden because of Braden being Big Ten Player of the Year. And then they asked Braden the same question, or they asked Braden, like, oh, do you know when that game is? And Braden's like, I have no idea when that game is. That's pretty funny.
Yep. Well, that's when you know you're the hunted.
Oh, yeah.
So, and Purdue will be the favorite out here in San Diego. Would you take a split right now?
Given you win the first game,
I think I would too. I mean, of course, hope we win both, and we'll probably be favored in both. But yeah, I would. You don't want to go 0-2. You never in these. You don't want to go 0-2.
Yes,
because we're gonna have some tough matchups. I mean, A&M won't be easy, and Auburn definitely not gonna be easy down in Birmingham. So it's time to buckle up. But any other thoughts before we do some sponsor reads and let everybody get on with their Thanksgiving week?
It's going to be an eventful next week.
There's a chance we could be having a Sunday podcast, maybe. Yeah. I do know I have a family Thanksgiving during the day, so that might be difficult. So it might be Evan and somebody else. Or who knows? But what I'm trying to say is if there's big time news, we'll try to do something.
Hop on.
Try to do something. So, but let's read some sponsors here. If you're like me, you know, I am a fan of leftovers, but I can only eat them for like a day.
Yeah.
Then I get kind of tired. I mean, except I find myself eating leftover chili all the time or pasta for like days. And then I'm like, I don't want chili for a month. But where I'm getting at is if you're tired of the Thanksgiving leftovers, tired of eating Thanksgiving food, even though it is wonderful, and you're like, I need something different. Well, Mad Mush has got you covered. Mad Mush has been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever Evan and I visit, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which the pizza for November is the Mad Scramble. You can only get it through Saturday. Then December starts Sunday, so next week we have a new pizza of the month to read about. But it is the Mad Scramble is Mad Mushrooms Alfredo sauce topped with scrambled eggs, bacon, diced potatoes, red onions, green peppers, and mozzarella cheese, starting at just $14. So next time you're in town, stop in and tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20. And any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can also use the coupon code BREAK5. That's BREAK 5, all caps, to claim the discount online at madmushroom.com. That's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. And even if you say, you're not a big pizza person for whatever reason, everybody should love pizza, but you don't like pizza, but you're tired of the Thanksgiving leftovers, they got more than just pizza. They got amazing cheese sticks. They got good wings. They got good grinders. They got good pasta. So whatever you're looking for, Mad Mush has it. And they got a whole variety of beers as well. So stop in. Say hello to our friends there. Let them know we sent you. Spend over $20 to get $5 off your order. And Webby, we are, since it's November 26th, we are less than, officially less than a month away from Christmas Day.
Ooh, yeah, I'm getting texted a lot from Fenmer saying they need a list, and I have struggled. Well, I am struggling.
Well, have you started your Christmas shopping for your wife or other family members? Well, Well, you know, actually, you know the...
Well, hold on. I take that back. My sister texted me with an idea for our mother, and I said, okay, sounds good to me. So we've done that.
All right. I like it. Teamwork. I like it. Yeah. But hey, she's an IU grad, and I know, am I paying you? But she goes through a lot of times and gets you nice Purdue merch. You know, a great place you could get her some new IU apparel.
I do. Or, you know, maybe if I want to go crazy with it, DePaul or. The Wabash College or Ball State, but they've got there some cool Ball State stuff on there. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, they do. They're the throwback.
Yeah, talking about the shop, who's making hometown apparel since 2011. Started out in their garage. Now they've got 3 retail locations: one in Broad Ripple, one in Carmel, one in downtown Indy. But you know, given this time of year, we're busy. The best way to do it is to go to theshopindy.com and use promo code Breakdown. You're getting 25% off your entire order. I saw
that script Purdue. Was it a zip up or was it a hoodie?
It was a hoodie. They have the hoodie with a little kind of in the left chest, a little script Purdue, kind of similar to some of the stuff we've been seeing with like the women's basketball team came out with a script jersey today, which really, really, really sharp.
I didn't see that. You have to go check that out.
Yeah, they've for their game against South Carolina this week, which
oh god, I didn't even know they played them.
Yeah.
Oh,
bad. They kind of released some like nice hoodies for like Purdue IU and of the like. Go to shopping.com, promo code Breakdown, get 25% off your entire order.
Yep. Unbelievably comfortable shirts.
Yeah.
And apparel. So you can't go wrong. Well, Webby, let's boiler up, hammer down, beat the Wolf Pack, beat either the Cougars or the Rebels, then somehow, for the love of God, pull off the upset of the year, shock the world, beat those Hoosiers, keep the bucket, and ruin their magical season.
Hell yeah, let's do it. Boiler up.